Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sharda Motor Industries Limited Q4 FY24 conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Puru Agarwal, President and Group CFO of Sharda Motor Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. A warm welcome to all the participants on this call. I'm here with Mr. Ashim Relan, our CEO, and our investor relations advisors from SGA. I hope you have had a chance to check out our results and the investors' presentations. You can also find the presentation on the stock exchange and the company's website for your convenience. Before going into the company's financials, I would like to give a brief overview of some noteworthy highlights in the industry. Let's start with the latest developments in the automotive sector. On the backdrop of robust economic growth of 7.6% based on conducive policies of the government, the Indian automobile industry has posted a strong performance, with domestic industry growing by 12.5% during FY24. India continues to be the third-largest automotive market globally. Starting with the PV segment, sales volume for the passenger vehicle in Q4 FY24 stood at approximately 13 lakh units, reflecting a YOY growth of approximately 9%. FY24 was a milestone year for the PV, with sales volume reaching to about 49 lakh units. This growth can be attributed to improved rural demand, a favorable product mix, and the launch of new models. Enhanced supply dynamics, improved road infrastructure, and strong demand in the SUV segment also contributed to this growth. Looking ahead of FY25, the industry is expected to grow at a single-digit rate due to the high base effect of FY24. In the commercial vehicle sector, total sales volume for Q4 FY24 reached to about 2.8 lakh units, down from about 3 lakh units in Q4 FY23, and sales for FY24 stood at approximately 10.3 lakh units compared to approximately 10.4 lakh units in the FY23. This decline was mainly due to a significant drop in exports. Domestic CV volume gained traction due to healthy infrastructure spending, aided by allocation for capital spending in the Union Budget FY2023-24, and a focus on replacing old vehicles under the Green Mobility Policy. Conversely, domestic CV volume were affected by weakened rural demand and cash flow due to unseasonable rainfall, as well as a shift to high-tonnage trucks, which increased payload capacity. Going forward, with a promising GDP growth outlook, government incentives to improve productivity in both manufacturing and agriculture sectors, and a continued focus on infrastructure, demand for CV is expected to improve from the second half of FY25. In Q4 FY24, the two-wheeler segment surged by 26%, reaching around 55 lakh, while FY24 saw a 10% growth to about 2.14 crores. Factors such as increased model availability, new product launches, and favorable market sentiments, especially post the expiration of FAME II subsidy on March 31st, drove this growth. Consequently, the two-wheeler EV market share rose notably to 9.12%. Additionally, strategic launches in premium segments and positive market sentiments further fueled the growth, supported by seasonal events, improved vehicle supply, rural market recovery from COVID, and financial incentives. In FY24, the tractor industry saw an 8% drop in domestic sales and a 22% decrease in exports due to various economic challenges. However, the outlook is positive for a recovery. The government is focusing on infrastructure development, increasing investment in agriculture and rural areas, and boosting rural spending. Additionally, more agriculture credit is becoming available, helping farmers buy new equipment. These initiatives are expected to improve agricultural productivity and support rural communities, leading to a rebounding tractor industry. After providing insights to the industry, I will now shift the focus to the operational and financial performance of the company. We have recorded a consolidated revenue of ₹703 crores for Q4 FY24 and ₹2,809 crores for financial year 2023-24. Our gross profit for Q4 FY24 stands at ₹184 crores as against ₹144 crores in Q4 FY23 with a YOY growth of 28%. We have improved our gross profit margin consistently, which now stands at 26.1% from 20.9% in the corresponding quarter of the last year. This margin expansion of more than 500 pips can be attributed to higher value-added sales. On an annual basis, the gross profit grew by 24% from ₹536 crores to ₹666 crores in FY24. The gross margin saw an improvement of 390 pips on an annual basis from 19.9% in FY23 to 23.7% in FY24. In Q4 FY24, our EBITDA stands at ₹99 crores, demonstrating a substantial growth of 23% year-on-year compared to ₹81 crores in Q4 FY23. The EBITDA margin for the quarter also experienced a robust expansion, increasing by 235 basis points from 11.8% in Q4 FY23 to 14.1% in Q4 FY24. In FY24, our EBITDA has reached to ₹361 crores, indicating a significant growth of 28% YOY compared to ₹282 crores in FY23. Notably, the EBITDA margin for the full year has expanded by 243 basis points, progressing from 10.4% in FY23 to 12.9% in FY24. For the quarter ended, our profit before tax amounted to ₹117 crores, factoring in shares in profits from JVs and its associates. Our JV recorded a profit of ₹2.6 crores in Q4 FY24 compared to ₹1.5 crores in Q4 FY23. For the full year period, our profit before tax amounted to ₹399 crores, considering shares in profit from JVs and its associates. Our profit before tax witnessed a robust growth of 42% compared to Q4 FY23. Additionally, for FY24, our PBT experienced a commendable increase of 43% compared to FY23. In Q4 FY24, the profit after tax amounted to ₹88 crores, making a notable growth of 42% compared to Q4 FY23. Our FY24, the profit after tax reached to ₹300 crores, exhibiting a significant growth of 44% compared to FY23. The company continues to be debt-free with surplus fund of approximately 900 crores, including investment in bonds and mutual funds. In line with our commitment to rewarding our shareholders, the company has declared a buyback of ₹228 crores approximately, inclusive of taxes. Furthermore, the board has proposed a final dividend of ₹9.92 per equity share, equating to 496% of the face value of ₹2 per share. This proposal is subject to shareholders' approval at the upcoming annual general meeting, including the buyback and the dividend. Our total distribution to shareholders will be approximately ₹257 crores for FY24. We will continue to explore organic as well as inorganic growth opportunities, which will be supported by robust operating cash flows, adding to our existing cash reserves. With this, we can open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
There are more than 20 parties in the conference.
The first question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Mr. Rashim, CEO sir, and Guru, you are really doing a fantastic work in the company. I admire you. What are you doing? Buyback, good dividend payout, good growth. Even turnover is not rising, but profit is rising. Fantastic. It means our margin has improved. My only curiosity for future growth is there. What is our CapEx plan and growth prospectus for next few years? And whatever margin we improve, will it be continued or not? These are my questions.
Sure. So Ashim this side, and good evening to everyone, and thank you so much for the question. So first, just to address the sales part. So given the high percentage of bricks or catalysts within our sales, so the gross sales number is not a good tracker to see growth, and gross profit and gross level is a better way to look at it, which I've been mentioning for a couple of calls now. And if you look at our gross profit increase, that has been far ahead of industry growth, and hence the underlying growth in value-added sales is robust. At the same time, now plan for the future. So first, we want to maintain or increase our market share in LCVs as well as passenger vehicles, domestic exhaust system RD segment. Next, we are aiming for market leadership in the domestic tractor TREM-5 market, which is going to start in 1st April 2026. Third, we've been working for at least a couple of years now on the export side, and we have a good pipeline in terms of export subcomponents as well as emission systems for tractors and sensors. And then further, as we saw updated in our presentation, that we have increased our focus on powertrain agnostic side. And in the powertrain agnostic side, we've done very well in one of our smaller verticals, which is currently suspension control arms, which we are referring to as the lightweighting vertical. At the same time, we will keep evaluating opportunities inorganically as well to deploy some of our surplus funds into M&A, into the powertrain agnostic space.
Okay. So any CapEx plan will you tell?
The CapEx plan for this year is similar to the average of last year's, plus we'll be adding a new facility. For that, we made an announcement that we'll be doing 50 crores on that new facility in Pune.
50 crores. Okay, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Payal Shah from Billion Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. I just have a few questions. First, what percentage of annual revenue is coming from various legislations that is already implemented?
Sure. So the revenues are coming, on the emission side, which is linked to legislation. So all our emission business comes from the various legislations. And in that, CV emissions, which is commercial vehicles plus LCVs, they account for about 42% of our sales. And these are all new legislations. Very minor part, spares and all would be on the old legislation. Then on passenger vehicle emissions, again, 42% of our revenues comes from that. And these are also all BS6, RD, and a very small percentage of that would be coming from the old ones, which is just on the spare front. And then 5% is coming from the off-highway tractors, gensets, and so on legislations as on FY 2024.
The line for the current participants seems to have been disconnected. We'll take the next question. The next question is from the line of Kartik Kehan from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ashim. Congratulations. Fantastic presentation. After a long time, well closed up and lots of useful details. So thank you very much for that. Two, three key questions. One is with regard to your addition products. You've indicated a volume of roughly a million units. Just for perspective, what would this number have been, say, 3 years ago?
A million units, you're referring to the slide on the emission front?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Sure. So it's a million plus, right? So don't look at it as an exact number, a million. It's now crossed million plus. I don't have the number on what it was previously, but we'll get back to you. Your question was 3 years ago, what was it?
I'm just trying to understand what would have been the growth like for you, given all the initiatives you have taken. And where could this number be, say, a couple of years down the line? I don't want to pin you down to a quarter, year or whatever.
Sure, sure, sure. What we'll do is the exact number on what it was 3 years ago, we'll definitely share. And one of the biggest drivers in the last 3-4 years on growth has been the content increase, right? Because from BS6, we went to BS6 RDE, right? And the content driver plus the opening of this new market of tractor off-highways, right now it's just about 5% of sales, but that's also added. So content has been a large part of growth in terms of gross units. That I'll come back in terms of what it was 3-4 years ago.
Fair. The other question is, I don't want to name names, but one of the OEMs was indicating that TREM V may not happen on the indicated date. What is your best guess of the probability of things happening?
Sure. So, now it's notified by the government. It's a formal notification, and almost all OEMs have nominated and started development also, right? So maybe there's just one or two OEMs left. So they are investing money into it. They have nominated their suppliers as well. And it's notified now by the government. However, you never know, but it looks like all the OEMs are gearing up for TREM.
Great, great. If you care to answer, what percentage of volumes today would have bricks as a part of the procurement?
That we don't answer, just because we don't talk too much about bricks. What we have shared is that to look at gross profit, it's a very good indicator to our value-added sales, the growth in gross profit that we see.
Of course.
Yeah, so see, just right, we don't
That's the number we have always looked at because it doesn't make sense looking at the grossed up number. All I'm trying to understand is how is the transition progressing? Whether 50%
it's reduced. Yeah. It's reduced a lot. And all our new products which have come in RDE have all been FOC, right? That's why, one of the reasons why gross profit is up and it has outperformed the industry. So I think for the year, it's roughly up 24-25% versus industry growth of 5-10% if you take a blended rate. And so it's reduced a lot. Our RDE products, the new products that came in, all came in with FOC. Now for TREM V and for newer products, we're trying to have the same strategy. That is a strong preference that we are sharing with the OEMs. But, customer is what we'll follow. And as of now, it looks like even TREM V business and additional business will come. So it will further go down as a percentage of revenues. But it definitely has come down.
fair. Last question from my side. 3 to 4 liters, what is the current status of commercialization?
So we are in the development phase only of that. We are ready. This is a market that is harder to penetrate in terms of timing, though we are optimistic that we'll be able to penetrate it. And once we penetrate it, we straight away get about 30-40% market share of it, right? Because there are only 3 or 4 engines here. And once a product goes into that, then one, we get the engine. And second, that exact same product can be cross-used in the entire segment. Our product is ready, our technology is ready, and the work's underway. However, these are stickier products, right? And as this requires a change in testing, emission cycle, and so on for the customer. So the work is on. As of now, very little revenue is coming out of that segment, but that is going to be one of the growth drivers in the next couple of years.
Oh, like not in this year?
This year, we won't see some big parts. We could. Right. As of now, it looks like there's not going to be some big addition in the 3 to 4 liter segment.
Fair. You know, thanks very much. Many positive pickups. So I hope you continue the good work. Best wishes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Vishal from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sir, my question is again regarding the gross margin. We have seen an expansion of gross margin to almost 26%, 100 basis point, Q1Q, 500 basis point YOY. And at absolute terms also gross profit has increased significantly. So, going ahead, what run rate should we take at a sustainable basis in terms of this gross margin expansion from here on? One. Second, I know that, you know, it is not correct to compare the base of last year because there the mix would be on older vehicles and new and this quarter there would be a larger proportion of RDE, new RDE norms vehicles. So, at what level the base will, you know, nullify and you will get a sustainable gross margin levels that, you know, which will be easier for us to estimate going forward?
Sure. So, you know, we had guided last year that our value-added sales will increase and it will outperform industry between 10 to 15% because of the content increase that would come from RD. So if you look at our annual number, the growth in gross profit, which is a strong indicator for underlying growth of value-added sales, has gone up 24%. So it's well in line with that. Now, it also includes, you know, some elements of product mix and so on. So it's very hard to guide on one number, but you can look at gross profit as the base for any year. And that would be helpful to look at growth versus industry. And it would never be exact on a sequential quarterly basis and so on. However, in the long term, this is the best indicator. And if you look at the back data as well, it would indicate that this has been a very good indicator of value-added sales curve.
Okay. So from here on also, 26% gross margin, you would expect that there will be some increase on quarterly and yearly basis?
So as a percentage, whether it will be 26 and so on, you know, because there is also mix that comes as part of it. So I won't be able to guide on it. However, what I will be able to share is that you can utilize gross profit absolute as a base, right? And you can then see how it progresses versus the industry.
Okay, okay. Sir, my second question is regarding there has been sharp increase in the other expenses. So, is there any one-off sitting there? Can you highlight on that fact?
There's not much one-off on the other expenses as the underlying growth is happening. So, the other expenses have also. So, there's not any one-off in particular on the other expenses. But I'll pause here. And Purusan, maybe if anything you want to add here to this question.
So it has gone up because of the higher value-added sales in terms of labor hire charges, freight outward charges, consumables, power and fuel, etc. And as Ashwin said, that it is going to continue like that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Sir, my third question is regarding the TREM V and CEV V norms which are going to be implemented from FY 2026. So, will we be able to see the same kind of content increase as we have seen in this, you know, new emission regime? A similar kind of content increase we'll see in that regime as well for, you know, construction equipment and off-roading vehicles?
Sure. So first I'll take tractors, because that's the big part of it, and then I'll come to construction equipment and other categories, right? So on the tractor front, currently, most tractors in India don't require our product only. So our content per tractor is zero. Where we do sell in tractors right now is partially on the TREM IV legislation, where very few tractors require it as a percentage. And then also a lot of the OEMs export out of India into countries where the legislations are higher, similar to what TREM V will be. So that is where our product goes in. So when TREM V kicks in, then we will be having additional revenues coming in from the industry, right? And that is going to be slightly large in size. It will definitely be a solid tailwind, and we are looking forward to good business on the tractor industry. Now, coming to the construction equipment industry and others. So in construction equipment and others, as volumes, they're much smaller than tractors, because you're making more than a million, kind of a million tractors in India now. So the construction equipment and the other industries also, which we have begun to develop now, we already have some business in genset. We are looking at construction equipment, and there we have also found that the adjacencies of our product have very high value add. So we are also looking at the core product, plus we are also looking at the adjacencies. And the good part about the construction equipment industry is that lot of the domestic or rather domestic players are also global players, right? And getting entry into these players also opens a very large account for us from a global scale, because the same customers on construction and genset side buy a very large amount of our product plus adjacencies globally, and they do prefer the route of exports and or imports for them. And most of it right now, they're buying from China.
Great, sir. Sir, there has been significant increase in the contribution from our Ebbas-Parker business this quarter. So what kind of, in fact, on a yearly basis also, FY 2023, 3 crore contribution from this business, and FY 2024, around 5 crore contribution. So what kind of, you know, will we see a sustainable level of growth in this business going ahead? And what kind of growth we should build in for next 2-3 years going forward?
Sure, sure. So I think you're referring to contribution as probably on the PAT, because that
Yes.
comes on a consolidated side. Sales don't come in of that business, right? So if you just look at it as a percentage of our overall profit, it's very small, right? Right, whether the absolute number has gone up, right? As a percentage of our overall consolidated profit, you know, it's still roughly 2%-3% only. It's not a lot. And we do expect this business to do better as we go forward, but very hard to predict, because this is focused on the commercial vehicle and heavy commercial vehicle industry, which is very concentrated on few models, very cyclical. And because of, you know, small changes, also the percentages seem much higher or lower, because it's a much smaller business than our overall business. So going forward, you know, in the larger scheme of things, if you look, it's a very small percentage of a contributor to our overall numbers.
Okay, great, sir. Sir, my last question regarding the suspension system business, which has increased by almost 9% FY 2024. Sir, what would be the roadmap going ahead for this business? One, and sir, there is one more question regarding what will you guide regarding your export business going ahead in, you know, next year and  1-2 years going ahead?
Sure. So I'll take the suspension business, which we are renaming lightweighting, right? And lightweighting, why? Because we are seeing a very strong trend on lightweighting, and we have seen good amount of synergies between our core processes and the lightweighting theme that's playing out. And right now the business is basically suspension assemblies as well as control arms. So we had made some small R&D investments, innovation work, but they've yielded good results. We have added one additional customer. Plus, we've been nominated for a good size platform, which is EV plus ICE for an existing customer. And that has given us a lot of confidence in this segment. Our current product, as I mentioned, is largely controls arm, suspension, axle assemblies. But given how the lightweighting theme is playing out, because of the requirements in weight reduction in EV, as well as ICE, hybrid, and so on, even for safety reasons, we will continue to focus on it. Right now, to guide on it is difficult. However, our content currently is small in the realm of things. However, there is opportunity to grow it. And as it develops, I'll keep updating on this segment. Our new plant that has been added is to begin with only focused on this segment, or which will be added, we've announced, which will be added in the next couple of months.
So you will be increasing your product offerings also in this space?
Currently, you know, we have very less market share. So first focus is to get more business within the product, as well as looking at opportunities on how we can increase our content. And it's such a huge space. We just want to be very careful that we are addressing only the segments that are technology driven, right? And which do have good financial profiles rather than just going for everything.
Fantastic, sir. Sir, regarding the export, can you throw some light there as well?
Yeah. So the export business, we have built a team. We are building a team, a bigger team now, which we'll be building over the course of this year. We have a very good RFQ pipeline. We do expect some new additions. To time it is very difficult. Also, as Purusan mentioned, that globally the off-highway segment is in a slowdown, which is more to do with the US and Europe market. So to time is difficult. However, the pipeline is good. We are building a focused team on it. So we'll have a good team working on it. And the initial orders, you know, will be small as pilots, but they'll grow over time. And overall, we are very excited about this segment on how we can grow our exports. Timing it may be difficult to plan, but we'll keep you updated on the program.
Fantastic, sir. Sir, I'll just take one more last question. Sir, we are building this new Chakan facility. So what kind of peak revenue visibility do you see from this Chakan facility? This is one, and one on a longer term basis, your vision to be, you know, in domestic market as well as export from 5 years perspective, how do you see your business in terms of size, in terms of market share, whatever your parameters to judge you want to be in next 5 year basis in terms of both export market and domestic market? These are my last two questions, sir. Thank you so much.
So I'll come first to the new addition. So at revenue, you know, there's no guidance as such that we can give because this is something very new and we will build it up. This is a new facility that's coming up for control arm as well as suspension assemblies. And this product, which we've been nominated for, will largely be used in EV and ICE. So it's powertrain agnostic. So it fits in very well with our overall strategy. The first phase investment, which we'll be doing this year, and it may spill over to next year as well, which is 50 crores. And then we will look at how to build it further. And in terms of giving specific numbers on revenue and so on is very difficult. Coming to your question on overall vision, so there's no number as such that, you know, there's, that we are guiding on. However, if you look at it, the growth perspective is quite good just because of the addressable markets that we've entered. I think the addressable markets that we've entered and will be entering into are exponentially bigger than our current revenues. and hence we do see a good growth opportunity, and we are ambitious about it, and we hope to definitely be outperforming the industry and to be providing good results. Just specific numbers and so on, we are not guiding.
So, sir, do you see, you know, 5 years hence, export can be 15-20% of that, the business? Is the potential big you are seeing?
Sure. So, I again, no numbers, but the potential that we see on this product is huge for international business, right, from an export perspective. The numbers that we are seeing in terms of how these larger companies are buying, especially on the segments that we are working on our product and its adjacency, has positively surprised us also. So the addressable market, when we look, is multifold of the India opportunity. However, you know, we have to see and get some wins and build it up.
Fantastic, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, one more last question if I can take.
Sure, sir. Can you please join the queue for the follow-up?
Sure. Thank you.
Yes. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from White Pine Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations for this for the strong show as well as the presentation. So my first question is just a clarification. And so if I look at your EBITDA margins, they are now higher than what we used to have before this bought out component accounting happened. So would it be right to say that the FOC terms that you are referring to now is largely percolated in our revenue? Maybe some tail is left. That would be the right way of understanding?
So I your voice is a little bit unclear, but as much as I could get, I'll answer, right? So regarding this FOC and Catalyst, it's always been part of our revenues, right? It's like even like 10 years ago, it was part of our revenues. Only thing is, before the BS6 regime, it was a smaller part of our revenues because BS4 products, the Catalyst was not so expensive, right? And in BS6 and BS6 RD, it's way more expensive than what it used to be in BS4. At the same time, we were also not that large of a company then, right? So it's always been that. There's never been a period where there was not a mix of Catalyst as well as non-Catalyst business, right? So in terms of that, you can always, you know, refer back, I think, since the BS4 norm started. Now, coming to the EBITDA margin number, EBITDA margin number is the core driver is the underlying value-added sales, right? Which is a good representation comes from our gross profit increase. And how the EBITDA margin will pan out, that's something, you know, which I mentioned in the last few questions as well, that it depends on the value-added sales going forward.
Okay, so I think so. Let me rephrase my question. What I'm trying to understand is, so when BS6 came across, if I look at your material cost as a percentage of sales, which used to be around 68%, went up to 82%. Okay, because of the accounting issue, it was nothing to do with business as such, but the way you had to account it post that. Now, it is on annual basis, it is around 76%. So, if more and more business is moving towards the pre-BS4 regime in terms of accounting, your RM to sales should actually go back closer to 70%. Is this the way to understand the business?
Okay, sure. Understood. So there are three regimes that we must talk about. One is BS4, one is BS6, and one is BS6 RD, right? So BS4 to BS6, as you mentioned. In BS6 RDE, we took all the business where the brick was FOC. It does not show in our sales, it does not show in our purchases, right? Yeah. And it's only pure value-added sales, and that's why this improvement has happened this year. Now, going forward, if we continue to only take on new business on FOC, definitely FOC business is like this only. However, when TEM5 comes in, we are strongly preferring to go with this model, but we'll keep the customer's preference as a priority. And let's see how that pans out when it comes on to the tractor industry. We feel it may be a blend, but we are trying to do fully in terms of FOC. So just look at it in terms of three.
So if we exclude TREM 5 on the existing business, Would it be a right assessment that accounting-wise, RM to sales can see a further decrease? Or no, we have achieved broader number, it could be now marginal or incremental in nature.
Sure.
Because as I explained, 68 to 82, 82 becoming 76, largely because of this accounting of bought out component versus FOC and the proportion of that changing.
Sure. Yeah. So just that we look at it a little bit differently, right, to how you are saying it. I get your point. So I won't comment with this this way of looking at it. It is also just a different way. I'll just say that these three things have been exactly linked with emission norms, BS4, BS6, and BS6 RD. And in the future, right now, the big emission norm that's coming is CEV5 and TREM5, right? And CEV5, TREM5, as it progresses, I'll keep updated. However, the best way to look at it is to look at the gross profit number versus the industry part of it. I get your point, just because internally we look at it differently. Maybe offline we can, you know, through SGA, go through this.
Yeah. So second is on tractors. You indicated OEMs have started nominating the suppliers. So when you say you are nominated, it's nomination for developing the product or nomination when... So if, so what I'm trying to understand is if TREM5 gets implemented on the notified date, so can, what kind of market share we can look at it? Would it be 50% plus based on the nominations you have, or the, you are in the process of proving the product as of now, and after that, share of business will be decided. So is that more the... And how many players are there as a peer set? It's a two, three-player market, or there are more players over here?
Sure. So exact market share number and so on, we won't guide on, even though we would have a good indication, right? Because mostly nomination for 50% plus of the industry has already happened. And when the nomination happens, it's based on the go-ahead to invest and to fully develop and to start ordering the manufacturing lines, testing and so on, right? And, but exact guidance on, you know, what the market share will be, probably won't be able to give. However, we are bullish on this industry, given that most of the customers are already our customers, because we've been supporting them in TREM4, as well as all the export products, and which was small, but we have good relationships with the teams, as well as our R&Ds have worked together on similar style products for exports. Coming to how many player market it is, it's largely a three-player market, because this is advanced emissions, and you know, then you can see how-
Yeah.
They could pan out in terms of market share in a three-player
market. And lastly, on the control arm business-
Sir, can you come in the queue for the follow-up question?
Just a clarification. Just a clarification.
Sorry.
See, on the control arm, sir, you are on the passenger vehicle, you are not on the commercial vehicle side. Is that the right understanding?
Yes. Currently, we are on the passenger car side, but this can be cross-applied to LCVs as well, but current business largely is on the passenger car.
Aseem, I have been trying to get a meeting with the senior management since a very long time, and you have been indicating that you would try to be more accessible. I hope you have formed a policy around it, and it would be helpful if you can, if outside the result call, the senior management is able to find some time.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to ask two questions per participants. The next question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from BugleRock PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Sir, how big is this tractor emission market according to you? And which are the five players in the world which you are talking about?
Please, can you speak louder, please? Hello?
How big would be the tractor emission market according to you? And who are the two to three players which you are talking about are in the world?
Okay. How is the question, how would the tractor market... I can't get to you. It's a very muffled voice that's coming.
No, so how big is the tractor emission market according to you? and which are the big two or three big players or competitors in this space?
Sure. So how big is the market? You know, depending on how, which product strategy and which range of products eventually the OEMs take, as well as value-added, non-value-added, hence giving a definitive number is difficult. However, it could be similar to the size of what commercial vehicle is in terms of numbers, right? And the competition, we don't name competitors, but the general competitors who are there on the CV segment are the same ones on tractors that we understand.
Okay. And so the tractor, my second question is, tractor market is a cost-sensitive market. So how are you managing being the lowest cost among your peers?
Yeah, so that's an advantage for us, right? Being the low-cost player anyways, as the other two, three competitors are global companies. So that is one of our strengths, and that's why, you know, it could play out on the tractor industry as well.
No, that is what I'm asking. What's the different thing you're doing against your peers?
So I think what we are doing different against our peers.
Yes.
Sure. Just, you know, that maybe not worth talking about right now, given that that's, you know, one of the things that TREM V is under nomination right now. However, we are using various techniques, which we would be able to get a better business market share from our competitors. And it's very similar to what we do in other industries as well. But just listing it out, given that, you know, a lot of nomination is going on right now, would not be the right thing.
Okay, so that's just small from my side. What percentage of the top three or four customers contribute to your revenue?
I don't have the number with me offhand right now. I'll get back to you. We'll get back to you towards it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Chetan Doshi from Tulsi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations, Ashim, for the good set of numbers and nice presentation. Now, a couple of questions are already answered, but please restrict your people to, you know, only two questions. You know, you have to wait for almost 35, 40 minutes to be in the queue to, you know, get one or two questions answered. Now, my specific question to you is, see, this suspension systems, you have been growing at 45% compounded annual growth. So what are your plans to expand in this particular segment? And the second question is, you have announced a buyback. As such, our equity is very low. And in what way it is going to benefit? Because this money you could have been utilized for a takeover or a, you know, for further expansions, because as such, the liquidity in our stock is less.
Sure. So first, I will take the question on suspension/lightweighting. Just to repeat that your question was, what is our plan in this segment, correct?
Yeah. At present, it is 10%. And what is your growth plans in particularly in this segment?
Sure. So this has been a smaller segment. As we've shown, now it's grown. And we have also been positively surprised. This is largely due to the lightweighting theme that's playing out in the industry. And it seems to be a mega trend that is stronger than we expected also. And in terms of planning, we will add some R&D investments as well as innovation to look at opportunities. This sector is, or this segment is very, very big when it comes from an addressable market perspective. However, we want to be cautious and only address the sub-segments which are profitable and have an overall good ROS picture. So we'll be selective. However, it's so big, it's still a good addressable market that we'll have. We've added one new customer, plus we've been nominated for a platform which is EV plus ICE. So this is a powertrain agnostic, something that we were looking for a long time. As phase one, we've added a facility, or we'll be adding a facility which will come up in the next couple of quarters. And that will be the phase one. We'll see and learn on how that goes forward. And we'll continue to look at opportunities from the perspective of R&D as well as technical support, where we can cater to this larger segment, which is larger than our current, as an addressable market, larger than our current emissions market as well. So that's on the front of light weighting. Now your second question in terms of buybacks. So as Puru-san shared that we've closed the year with a surplus of a good amount of cash reserves, and we wanted to return back at least some to the shareholders. As you know, we would still have enough left over for opportunities in M&A, which we are actively exploring. However, we are conservative and selective because we want to only enter into segments which have high moats, have high ROS, and not just you know, acquire for the need of acquiring. So as a balanced approach, we thought that we'll give something back in the form of a buyback, so, and reward the shareholders as well. And this also, of course, increases our ROE and ROS, and so it is a good this thing in terms of buyback.
But this is beneficial, sorry to interrupt, but this is beneficial to if we give a higher dividend, because this will be tax-free to the, in the hands of shareholders, or it will be taxed? Because if you pay dividend, means more dividend, then that is more helpful.
Sure. So I am not sure of you know, the taxation side of it. However, we evaluated all opportunities, and for this stage, for this amount, I think the team and the board decided that this would be the best. This is only one phase. We will continue to evaluate all further opportunities as well, and in terms of returning to the
Yeah, good luck, Ashim.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to please limit their questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Pradyumna Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My first question is, in one of your slides, you mentioned a steady state margins of 10% plus, whereas FY24, we ended at 13% kind of a margin. So, what's the kind of steady margin you see going forward? Like, is 13% sustainable, or was it more of a product mix related higher margin? That's the first question.
Sure. So our growth this year has been largely from BS6 RD products. On BS6 RD products, we chose to take the strategy of keeping a large component in sales called Catalyst as FOC, and the customers agreed with us as well, and hence the margins have improved or optically improved because the sales number also from that perspective in terms of growth did not show the way we grew. So the best way to look at it is gross profit and gross profit growth as an absolute to get an indicator on our growth. Now going forward, it is totally dependent on our new product additions, whether it will be with FOC catalysts or non-FOC catalysts. We are trying our best that it remains that all new product additions will be new FOC catalysts. However, it's yet to be seen. And the best way to look at it is that the increased margins is nothing but value-added sales are going up, which is not an indicator in the gross numbers which we saw because of this catalyst thing that happened in RD.
All right. Yeah, like that was my sense. I was just trying to understand whether there's any other reason for it, but that's fine. I got your answer. Second,
other smaller reasons also. This is a large driver, value added.
Okay, fine, fine. Second would be, do we see any... Like this already has played out in our base, right? The content increase that's already played out in FY24. So going forward, do we see any further content increase from our existing portfolio, or would our growth largely be dependent on taking away having a higher market share or entering new segments? And third would be on the demand environment side, right? Especially on the LCV side, what kind of a demand are we seeing?
So, in terms of the future, rather than looking at it as content increase and so on, we are adding or attempting to add several new addressable markets, and that's going to be a key growth driver. So for this LCV PV segment, definitely the thought process is how we can increase market share as well as enter into this 3-liter to 4-liter segment, which we are not currently present. In addition to that, we are looking at how to get market leadership in TREM 5, which is in tractors. Currently, tractors don't require our products. In addition, on the export side, on the subcomponents as well as emission systems for tractors, gensets, and building up our lightweighting vertical, which is currently slightly under 10% of our sales. And coming to further content generally increases in link with legislation. So within the Indian market, the legislations that are on the horizon are CEV5, TREM5, and then Euro 7. CEV5 and TREM5 are much closer and notified, and Euro 7 or BS7 will depend on how it plays out globally.
Understood. And on the demand environment part, on the LCV side especially?
I mean, we are not seeing anything in particular from the demand side. I think it's business as usual so far, and we don't see any kind of difference. So I would say nothing to comment upon positive or the other.
All right. Thank you and all.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Vaibhav Gupta from Bowhead India Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, compared to the tractor industry, how is the addressable market size in the construction industry? Like, it would be 1/3, 1/4, 1/5. Can you please share?
It would be the same as how many construction equipment are produced in India and how many of the engines are produced. I don't have the number as such offhand. It's smaller, right? So it would be roughly, I would guess, about 20% of the tractor industry or slightly under 20%. But this is a guesstimate because I don't have the numbers in front of me. However, this is a very attractive segment as this has a lot of adjacencies for our part. Which are tech-oriented, and for that as well, the content is very high. And most of the players in this market are international, and they do a lot of buying of our product and adjacencies globally from China. So this is an attractive segment for the long term from the perspective of, you know, entering in India and then utilizing that also as a platform to export to these guys, as there are very big companies present in India, global companies in this.
Just a clarification, sir. So realization of our product in construction equipment is similar to what it is in tractors?
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Just the volumes of construction equipment are less.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Puru Agarwal for closing comments.
We appreciate your participation in our earnings call today. We trust that we have addressed all your queries. Should you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations advisors at Strategic Growth Advisors. Thank you and have a pleasant evening.
On behalf of Sharda Motor Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.